Hello, Harbor West. It's so good to worship with you all this Sunday morning and to gather together. Being here at the church building, and as Pastor Mike was mentioning, me and my family, we joined Harbor Waipahu, the church plant, out of Harbor Town in Honolulu. And actually, our first meeting that we met together and we prayed about what it would look like to plant the church in Waipahu, we were actually here, right here in the sanctuary, and we were seated, me and my family, my wife and the kids, and a number of other families from our community group. We were all gathered together and we prayed about what it would look like and when it would be time for us to plant in Waipahu. And so fast forward, we are closing in on year five, we're closing in on year four, going to start year five together as a church plant. And so it's been an exciting and an amazing way to see God work just, a few minutes away from where you guys are. And not only to see that happen and take place, but to join with you guys on mission to bring the gospel here in Kapolei, in Makakilo, in Ho'opili, in other areas, Nanakuli, Waianae, right? There's so many other areas that we get to join you on mission in sharing the gospel throughout this area on the island of Oahu. And so it's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to be here today and to worship with you all. I'm celebrating so many things that I get to see while I'm here. I see a lot of familiar faces, but at the same time, to see your missions team that you guys partner with churches in Vietnam, and to know that I was actually able to partner in a few mission trips and to go to Vietnam, but to see also some of the pictures with some of the baptisms and people surrendering their life to Christ, and also just the ways that there's a variety of different community groups, and even the announcement with Harvest Family Life with the clothing drive. There's so many ways that God is using this church here in this area and community. And that's an amazing thing, an amazing blessing that we get to see and we get to be encouraged by in Waipahu. And we get to think about doing the exact same thing, maybe in different ways, but the exact same thing of bringing the gospel to a specific area and community. So thank you for just your prayers and support for us as a church along the way. We are so excited that we are not on this mission alone. One of my friends, actually, he mentioned this to me. He was in community group with me, and then they moved somewhere else. And he mentioned to me, Zach, just a reminder, we're not on separate mission, but we're on the same exact mission together. We're just in a different place. And even though that different place for us is just a few minutes away, we get to serve and labor and partner in ministry together. And that's actually one of the blessings that we're going to be able to take a look at this morning as we take a look at the book of Psalms, chapter 133. And so if you have your Bible with you, you can go ahead and open up to Psalm 133, because that's where we'll be. And we're gonna take a look at the beauty and the blessing of when the people of God are united with Him, but also united and serving well together. That it's a delight. It's an amazing aroma and blessing for us, but also for the people around us. And my guess is a lot of us have experienced that. Maybe you have come from a different area and you've moved to Hawaii and you've settled here for a few years, or you moved here and you quickly were connected with this church. Or maybe you're attending this church and you're invited to join a community group or be a part of a journey group or be part of some type of ministry here, and you've grown and you've been more connected with this church and you've grown in your walk in so many ways. There's been so many blessings of doing that, but also maybe you've walked through difficult seasons with God's people. Maybe you've had moments of frustration and maybe confusion and maybe even anger towards others, because maybe there has been some things that you've been hurt by. And it's been difficult for you to even return back to church or be with the people of God because of what has happened and what has taken place. And you've wanted to remain isolated. You've wanted to remain distant. Well, God has a word for us today. And through David, he's going to be speaking to us. And David is going to be giving us some insights, because he has also walked through very similar things. He's walked through life when life has been very difficult and challenging. And we're going to unpack some of that. But he's also walked through ways where dwelling with the people of God, serving with them on mission together, has been an amazing joy and it's been a delight. And so we get the privilege and the honor of being able to open God's word together as we're in Psalm 133. And so before we do that, before we get started with verse 1, could you please join me in prayer before we get started? We're going to open God's word. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in your word that we get to read aloud together, that we get to sing together as a church. Thank you for the ways that your word doesn't change and your word doesn't return void, that when we read your word, your Holy Spirit speaks to us. Father, continue to speak to us and through us as we spend time in your word, that we would look to you, that we would be strengthened and equipped by who you are and what you have done and what you've accomplished and what you're calling us to, Father. Help us love to want to serve and care for one another in the good seasons when life is amazing and there's a lot of things to celebrate, but even in the difficulty, Father. Let us labor together and love serving together with one another because it is so good when the church of God, when the people of God are united. May we be equipped and strengthened this Sunday where God has placed us, where God is sending us to. May we continue to look to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in Psalm 133, and you guys kind of know this, right? We're going through the Psalms of Ascent, right, where the people of God are on their way to Jerusalem, and they're singing these songs together as a church. It's a way of preparing their hearts to worship God and to go on this journey together. And just like them, we're also on this journey of life together, right? We're going through life together through the good and the bad and the difficulties, but we're singing and we're looking forward to when God returns, right? And when he, and we live in light of that and how he's equipped us and how we can partner well together, right? So here in Psalm 133, it says, a song of ascent of David. How delightfully good when brothers live together in harmony. How delightfully good when brothers live together in harmony. Let's just pause right there, right? We see a significant aspect of godly unity here. When the people of God are united with God and serving him, but also working and serving with one another, we see that unity in the Lord is delightful. It's delightful. It's good. Maybe some of your translations in the Bible, it may say good and pleasing, right? That it is a good and pleasing thing when the people of God are doing life together in harmony, living life together in harmony. And why is it so delightful? I think I was asking that question as I was looking through this passage. What makes it so delightful that the people of God are on mission together, right? What makes it so delightful, like on a Saturday morning where you don't have work and you get to wake up in the morning and you get to have your coffee with you and like maybe like a malasada from Leonard's Bakery, right? Like what makes being with the people of God such a delight and an enjoyable and a refreshing thing, right? It says here, it's brothers and sisters in God living in harmony together, right? It's living in harmony together. And notice it says life together, right? That these people that are on, that are singing these songs, that are going to Jerusalem, they are on this journey together multiple times throughout the year, right? And it probably happens this way, right? That when you're on this journey, you're probably going with some familiar faces, right? Some of the people that you've spent a lot of time with, right? You're walking through life with, right? During those times, they've probably experienced a lot of great things, a lot of things that they've been able to celebrate, but then also times where they have mourned together and they've spent a lot of time encouraging and supporting one another. But at the same time, when you're traveling with people, when you're on this journey, you know this and you've experienced this too, maybe on this past like family vacation that you've been on, but when you spend an extended time with people, it gets a little difficult, right? There are people that it may bother, there are things that they may do that may bother you or irritate you. So they're on this journey together, right? It is not saying like that you're just going on this journey for a season, but an extended time, right? An entire lifetime that you're together. And it says life together in harmony, right? That it requires just more than just working together, but effort towards seeking the good of others, right? Paul writes this in the book of Philippians, that he says that everyone should look not only to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. And while we partner together and serve God and look to him together and serve one another, we set aside our own interests, our own preferences for the good of working and serving with one another, right? We make the gospel a beautiful harmony when we're able to do that, right? Harmony doesn't mean that there's no room for correction. In fact, that's actually a very good thing, that when we have moments where we can walk through seasons of life with other believers and walk through them through difficulties and provide maybe moments of accountability and discipleship, like those are actually really good moments that we shouldn't shy away from, right? That being in unity together is may at sometimes require some difficult conversations, right? And harmony and unity is not uniformity, right? We're not all the exact same together, doing the exact same thing. Like, it's actually a blessing that God has called us to different areas of ministry or different ways that he's gifted us. I mean, just being here and worshiping with you all, it's an amazing blessing just to know how you guys are on mission, just in a different place, and how we share the gospel, we work to sharing the gospel better with you guys also on mission. And God has equipped a variety of different people, right? Whether that's people in the children's ministry, people on the missions team, people that are greeting or working parking and security, right? We are all gifted and called to serve God, but he's gifted us in a variety of different ways. And when we do that, we become a beacon, right? A pillar and a buttress of the truth of the church, that the church is the strong foundation of the truth of the gospel, that when we're able to have harmony with one another, when we're able to work with and serve with one another and set aside our preferences, we honor God when we do that, right? Jesus says this in John. It says, "I give you a new command, to love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another," right? Isn't it amazing when us as a church, we can look to God and we can be united with him, but that also is something that equips us and strengthens us to love and care for the people around us, right? It becomes an amazing harmony. Just like the worship team, when we were hearing worship this morning, the instruments, the tempo, everyone's in sync and all together. And because of that, we can glorify God and we can sing to God together, right? We can do that in unison together. It's a beautiful harmony. That's what it's like when the people of God and the church of God are united and serving God together. It's beautiful, right? And you may say, okay, Zach, I know that unity in God is delightful. You said it's delightful, it's good, right? It's pleasing, right? But why is this type of harmony, why is it so good? Why is it so delightful, right? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to think through these. David's going to explain a little bit more of this through some of these illustrations in verse 2 and verse 3. So join along with me as we're in verse 2 and verse 3. David continues talking about the harmony and beauty of the people of God dwelling together that glorifies him. It says, "It is like fine oil on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, onto his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion." And so we ask ourselves this question, but why is unity in the Lord so delightful? Well, because it is set apart, right? When we take a look at this second verse, right, we see this holy oil that is set apart, it is consecrated, it is made sacred, it is different, right? And then it is dedicated to the Lord, right? Like the anointing oil in this illustration, right? Oil represents, the holy anointing oil represents God's presence. It represents God's blessing and his holiness, right? It consecrated the tabernacle. It set apart priests for God's service. It symbolized God actually choosing and empowering someone for his purposes, right? This holy anointed oil also gave off a beautiful fragrance. And for those of you that want to learn a little bit more about the specifics of the oil itself, you can later on flip to Exodus 30, because that's where it actually unpacks and walks through what's included in this holy anointing oil. That it includes fine spices and myrrh and olive oil and cinnamon, right? That this oil, that the oil in this passage is giving off a beautiful fragrance for everyone else, right? And also, it's important to make note here that in the passage, the oil is actually running down, right? There is, it mentions that twice, like it is running down the beard of Aaron, right? Aaron, who is God's appointed high priest that we see in Exodus 28, right? That this oil is marked Aaron for God's service, that he is called towards mission to serve God because of this anointing. He's received God's blessing to do that, right? This oil is running down from head to toe. It's showing that this is a form of unity that is not coming from a specific person, but it is a blessing upon him from God, right? And David has also experienced being anointed with this holy oil that also symbolized him and the mission that he was called to later on as king of Israel, right? And as I kind of read through this passage in this psalm, and I know that David's wrote it, right? I can't help but go back to Psalm 23 where it says that you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? When we choose to live in harmony with other believers, we become set apart. We show and declare to the world that that we are united with God and that we are on mission together. And we give off, right? We're not only are we set apart, but we give off a fragrance of that. Kind of like when I was thinking through this, I was like, oh, this is kind of similar to life in Hawaii. Because you know, life in Hawaii, like, when you're at a graduation ceremony or when it's someone's birthday or when someone is leaving, you typically want to honor them and bless them with a gift, with a lei, right? And that lei, especially like my mom would always tell me, make sure you got to go to the store and you got to go to this specific place and you got to get the ginger leis, right? You got to get the pikake leis or the puakinikini, right? Because those leis smell so good, right? It's the fragrance of that smell, like, people notice and people recognize it, and it's beautiful. And then when you're wearing it, right, and then you come home, you don't want to take it off, or if when you do take it off, you want to place it somewhere in the room because you want that smell for everyone to take in as well and enjoy. Well, that is like the beauty of the people of God being united with him, but also being united and working to serve with one another together, to dwell with one another on mission and in harmony together. We get to give off this attraction and fragrance. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that this fragrance that Christians give off, it will bring, for some people, when they hear the gospel, it will bring death to them, meaning that they will be turned off. They will be opposed to the gospel. They will be opposed to the message of Christ. But for some, when they see and they recognize the goodness of God, the weight of their sin, their need for a savior, and how the church has been equipped to serve and equip and strengthen one another, and they can't help but be attracted to the gospel itself. It is like a beautiful fragrance when the people of God are serving in harmony. And we see here in verse 3 that unity in the Lord is also delightful, but it's also life-giving, right? And it helps us unpack our second question, like, why is unity in the Lord delightful? Because it is life-giving, right? It encourages one another. We strengthen one another when we know that we're on mission serving together, right? Like the dew of Mount Hermon falling on the mountains of Zion, right? Hermon is the highest mountain in the northern area of Israel. It's known for its abundance in rain and moisture. It would snow up on the mountain, and some of that moisture would even make its way into the Jordan River, okay? And when David makes this comparison, the people of God are immediately going to know and recognize the importance of this and the significance of Mount Hermon, right? The refreshment and the saturation and the life that this area has, and the water and the refreshment that it has. Kind of like if you're kind of on the windward side and you drive by the Ko'olau's, right? And you see all of the beautiful waterfalls or the rain, right? You're reminded of life there, right? Or maybe you've gone to Kauai, right? And you've been able to visit Mount Wa'ale'ale and just the wettest spot arguably in the world, right? You're able to notice and recognize just how much moisture is there. And David is saying to the people of God, well, this life, this mountain that has so much moisture and so much dew, it is actually falling upon this area of Mount Zion, right? Mount Zion and Mount Hermon are actually not very close to one another. And so it's not actually like the dew or the rain is falling upon Mount Zion. But Mount Zion is actually the place where the people of God are journeying to, right? It's actually in Jerusalem. And so when they're singing about this and when they're recognizing the refreshment and the new life that comes from this mountain, they realize, wow, it is good. It is life-giving for us to be united together. Right? Just like the oil runs down the beard of Aaron, the dew from Mount Hermon falls upon Zion, right? It is the source of blessing and oil and the dew from God, right? God provides this life-giving blessing for unity. And maybe you have experienced this blessing of unity. Over the past few weeks, I've been able to, as I've been serving at the church, I'm now kind of working with a variety of different ministries at our church, from our children's ministry to our youth ministry, to our setup team Sunday mornings, right? And even to a ministry that cares for people that live around the area of Waipahu. And it's been awesome for me because I've only known serving at the church through a few different ministries, right? But now that I'm able to see a variety of different people that God has called them to a particular purpose, that we're all on mission together and we're all going to serve in a variety of different ways. Ways that we can't all do this together. Like we can't all do these particular things, but on our own, but together we can do that, right? It's a blessing that we're able to serve and work and labor for the gospel to go out together. I'm reminded of that so much lately, being able to serve at the church. But actually, when I think of bringing the gospel back home to Hawaii, one of the people that really inspires me a lot is actually Pastor Hoy and his wife, Fumi. Them spending, being in Vietnam and partnering with them in ministry and seeing Pastor Hoy have church service early Sunday morning and then hop on the moto and go to another area in Vietnam and share the gospel at another church and pray with a person and be able to go there and invite us back over to his house. We're able to have dinner and fellowship with them where he's able to share more about how he wants to see the gospel continue to transform the area where he's placed and the country he's placed them in. That actually encouraged me so much to return back home and to do the exact same thing, but just in a different place. And so it is so life-giving when we are encouraged by one another, when we are built up by one another, and when we are united with God, but also united with each other. And we see here at the very end, in the very last verse or part of verse 3, we see the result here. It says, "For there the Lord has appointed the blessing, life forevermore." Right? We see unity in the Lord is a forevermore blessing, right? The Lord has actually appointed this blessing. Maybe in some of your translations, it says a command, right? That we are required to not only be unified with God and look to him, but we're also required to care and serve with one another together, right? That because we're able to do this, this is a blessing that we're able to work together and serve together. Just a few months ago, I was talking with one of my friends, and he's actually a missionary in Vietnam right now. And so we're talking a little bit about, going into full-time ministry, and I was talking to him a little bit about all of the things that I'm doing at my previous job to kind of prepare myself for this. And he paused me. Like, I haven't even talked to him in like 10, 15 years, and he just paused me as I was walking through everything, and he said, "No, Zach, you have the joy to be able to do these things. You have the joy and honor and privilege and blessing to serve God's people." And that was just an amazing reminder for me from another brother in Christ to be like, oh yes, everything that we get to do is a blessing to be able to serve and share the gospel with the people around us. And we all long for that blessing. We all long for God's blessing, and we desperately need it, right? And we have faced times where we have been so worn out and discouraged throughout seasons in our life. But for some of us, maybe going to worship practice on a Thursday night or driving to community group on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, or fellowshipping with the church on Sunday, it's such a blessing to be able to do that. It is an honor for us to be able to worship together, to in a little bit partake of communion together as a church, where we're all looking to Christ and we're recognizing and repenting of the ways that we have sinned and fallen short. But we get to look to Christ together and we get to serve God together where he's placed us. So how can we pursue unity in Christ this week? How can we honor Christ in maybe the workplace that he's placed us or the community that we're a part of? Or display the gospel in our marriage? Or lovingly train up our children and disciple them to honor God and know God? Or to even patiently disciple believers in the church? How can we do this? Paul gives us some advice here in Ephesians. So if you have your Bible with you, if you could go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We're going to get some practical advice from Paul as he is going to encourage us on how we are called to live in delightful unity with one another. Paul says, "Therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." We see here Paul is encouraging us to have humility and gentleness with one another, right? That we need to listen to each other, seek to understand one another, and have patience with one another. I know that can be, me being Portuguese, I love to talk so much, right? And then when people start sharing some things, I get so excited. I just want to just butt in and start talking again, you know, because I want to build in, and I have so much thoughts going in my mind. But it's actually helpful for me to pause and to really listen, to really hear and understand the people that I'm partnering with in ministry, but also my family that I'm serving with. I think I've been feeling very convicted of that, especially with my children. Like, there's so many things that I want to just tell them, but how can I listen and understand where they're coming from? Maybe they're not even clear on the instructions that I'm giving them, right? How can we listen and patiently have humility and gentleness towards one another, right? To seek to understand each other, right? Seek to understand the people in our family, right? The people in our church family as well. Bearing with one another in love. Being a church that is constantly praying for one another and seeking to serve one another, providing the other's needs above them. One of the blessings of being a part of a community group was that about a year ago, Mari and I, my wife, we had our youngest child, Elijah, and one of the families from the community group, they brought over just a welcoming gift for us. Like, they had a laundry basket, right, with some coffee mugs and some gift cards and things like that. But I thought, man, it was such a blessing to just receive that laundry basket, because it meant so much, because I know that there's more laundry to be done. There's more things that are going to be happening around the house, but for them to recognize the season that we're in and to care and serve us, man, that was so encouraging for us to know that they understand where we are, and yet they're seeking to care for us and support us through the gospel. And in part three here in this passage, it says to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And so for us, we repent before the Lord of the ways that we have fallen short and we have sinned. We confess our sins to the Lord, and we're going to do that in moments of when we have communion. But we work towards reconciliation with one another, right? That we want to find ways that we can confess and we can even repent of the ways that we've wronged other people that we're serving with here at church, or serving with on ministry, or in our family. Some of us, we might need to have that conversation with another person that we're serving with in ministry. And we shouldn't stay distant. We shouldn't stay isolated, but we should engage and we should work to seek reconciliation with one another and repent of the ways that we have wronged others and confess that. Because, right, this is why, because we are part of one body and one Spirit. one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, just as Paul has encouraged us to do this, right? And you may say, wow, this is great, right? I get it, right? Caring for one another, supporting one another, listening to one another. I understand that. I think that's awesome. That's great. But really, when it comes down to it, it's difficult. It's difficult to care and love for one another, to serve one another. There may be times where you're filled with strife and conflict and frustration. Maybe you're encouraged for a few hours, and then once you come home, it all kind of falls apart. Or maybe you're serving in a particular area of ministry and you're working with other believers, and maybe they may say something and you've interpreted it the wrong way, and then all of a sudden it falls apart, right? Well, the answer is that we, with our own self, on our own strength, we are going to fall short all the time. We are going to struggle with this, and it's going to be difficult if we're not looking to God, if we're not being united with Him, right? And the best way that we can kind of look at this is, number one, we take a look at the person who wrote this song, David. Right? David experienced moments of chaos, right? He knew what it was like to run from Saul. He knew what it was like to watch Israel become divided before he was crowned king, right? He knew what it was like to have conflict within his family and even moments of rebellion within his family by his own son, right? And experienced the painful consequences of his own sin. And yet David still sings this song, and he's encouraging the people of God to sing this song together of dwelling in unity. Because David looked to God and an even greater Savior to come, right? David looked to a greater Savior in Christ, and that's where we look to church today, right? We look to Jesus, who experienced the frustration and difficulty with family members not believing him and rejecting him. Right, with religious leaders, he experienced with religious leaders that hated him and wanted him dead. I mean, even his disciples, we see Judas, right, betray him, and also Peter deny him three times. Right, he was abandoned by his disciples, and yet in humility, God sent his son Jesus to become a man, God with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us. Tempted in every way without sin, that he lived a perfect life. And Jesus makes this prayer when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, so that they may be made completely one, the people of God may be completely one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus willingly submitted to the Father by going to the cross, right? He sacrificed his own life on the cross, his death, so that we can have life in him. And it's not just life forevermore that we see at the ending of verse 3, right? We cannot lovingly will it on our own to care for one another if we're not looking to God and being united with Christ first. We must look to Jesus and his finished work on the cross, right? That is going to carry us forward. That is going to carry us forward in our relationships of working together within our families and serving with one another in ministry, right? We look to the love of Christ. We look to the humility of Christ and his sacrifice, right? And that brings a beautiful harmony, right? That brings delight to us and the people around us. That provides a beautiful aroma that the people of God and others will notice and recognize, and they'll be attracted to the gospel because of our love for God, but also our love and care for one another, right? May our humility and love for one another come from the saving work of Christ, and it's because of him that we have life forevermore. And when we're able to do this as a church, when we're able to partner together to care for one another, look to God together, and serve together in ministry, even in the difficult moments and the difficult conversations that we need to have, when we're able to have repentance and reconciliation, we actually model that well for the younger generation. We model that well for our kids and our children that are being raised up, and they recognize and they see what it's like to live for God and to honor God and look to him. And when that happens, they become equipped as well. And they're going to actually take the gospel even further than us. And so we have an amazing blessing to not only live that out and looking to God and serving together, but we have an amazing blessing of strengthening and even equipping the church that is going to be able to share the gospel even further. And so we have an amazing blessing to be united by looking to God together and partnering together. It is a blessing. It is a delight for us. It gives us off an amazing aroma. It is life-giving for us. And that's our encouragement for today as we spend time in God's word. Please join me in prayer.